Hello listeners, I'm your speaker Casey, and welcome to this week's episode of The Conspiracy Vault. What do we really know of Area 51? The hotspot out in the Nevada desert that has been the centre of alien conspiracy theories since the 1950s, where life forms from other planets are supposedly housed in secret bunkers and extraterrestrial vessels are seen flying around the open desert. Could it really be life from outside of this world? Or is there a simpler explanation for the goings-on at Area 51? The 20th of September 2020 marks the first year anniversary of the massive viral event that never ended up truly happening, Storm Area 51. Wikipedia tells us, Storm Area 51, they can't stop all of us. Commonly referred to as Raid Area 51, Storm Area 51, or Area 51 Raid, was an American Facebook event that took place on September 20th, 2019 at Area 51, a United States Air Force facility within the Nevada Test and Training Range. The event created by Matty Roberts on June 27th, 2019 would involve raiding the site in a search for extraterrestrial life. More than 2 million people responded going, and 1.5 million people interested on the event's page, which subsequently attracted widespread media reaction and caused the event to become an internet meme. Roberts later stated that the event had been purely comedic and disavowed responsibility for any casualties if there had been any actual attempts to raid the military base. On the day of the event, only about 150 people were reported to have shown up at the entrance to Area 51, with none succeeding in entering the site. Two music festivals were planned to coincide with the event: Alien Stock in Rachel, Nevada, and Storm Area 51 Base Camp, also in Nevada. An estimated 1,500 people attended these festivals, according to state and local law enforcement. Air Force spokeswoman Laura McAndrews stated government officials were briefed on the event and discouraged people from attempting to enter the military property. Nevada law enforcement also warned potential participants in the event against trespassing. The event had an effect on businesses, both locally in Nevada and around the United States, which prepared products for visitors and those attending the event. So what is Area 51 really used for? And is there any credible evidence of alien intelligence being kept there? Let's try and find out. After the end of World War II in September 1945, the Western world hoped to return to some level of humanity and normality, with loved ones being reunited, and others having to say tragic goodbyes to those they would never see again. Countries around the world began to heal and repair from the onslaught of violence that began back in 1939. In 1947, in Roswell, New Mexico, a sheep rancher named Mac Brazel found debris on his land 75 miles outside of Roswell International Air Center. Residents who saw the debris said it looked as though it was from outside of this world. This debris was in fact a crashed weather balloon and turned out to be part of the classified program Project Mogul. Project Mogul was used as a means of gathering Soviet intel. In 1994, the files around this mystery were declassified and made available for public reading. Despite this, the UFO theory remained, and to some, it was the most plausible explanation for what happened in Roswell at this time. Eventually, it is alleged that the debris was transported to a site later known as Area 51. Despite the war ending, tensions between America and the Soviet Union still existed, mostly because of the USSR's decision to side with Korea. As tensions mounted, USA decided they would need to gather intel on the Soviet Union and keep an eye on them. The American government found themselves at a crossroads when trying to continue this surveillance. The current aircraft they used for this surveillance could only fly at low altitudes and had massive cameras to take photos, and thus were not undetectable by Russian counterintelligence or officials. To combat this, in November 1954, President Eisenhower approved Project Aquitone. Its goal? To create aircraft that could collect intelligence and remain undetected. In summary, aircrafts that could reach much higher altitudes that the human eye had never seen before. In 1955, a top-secret airbase was built in the Nevada desert. And the name of this place? Area 51. Or as project leader and engineer Kelly Johnson named it, Paradise Ranch. A book by Mike Rothschild named The World's Worst Conspiracies, The Truth They Don't Want You to Know, talks in depth about Area 51, stating, secrecy wasn't always baked into the facility. In its earliest incarnation, the dry bed at Groom Lake, Nevada, was simply a pair of unpaved runways used during World War II and given the unmysterious name Indian Springs Air Force Auxiliary Field. In the early 1950s, the Atomic Energy Commission was looking for places to set off nuclear bomb tests, so they bought a huge tract of desert, called it the Nevada Test Site, and parcelled it into numbered areas. A few years later, when the CIA needed space for Aquatone. So this part of the base, they labelled Area 51, and it became designated for this top-secret project. In this same year, Area 51 began test flights on a new aircraft called the Lockheed U-2, nicknamed Dragon Lady. Wikipedia tells us, Lockheed U-2, nicknamed Dragon Lady, is an American single-jet engine high-altitude reconnaissance aircraft operated by the United States Air Force and previously flown by the Central Intelligence Agency. It provides day and night, high-altitude, all-weather intelligence gathering. Most aircrafts by this time were only capable of reaching heights of 40,000 feet, and because the public were not allowed to know about these test flights at Area 51 under any circumstances, and with this being so top secret, when these aircraft actually began testing, members of the public that saw these noticed straight away. They heard the crashing sounds, they saw the rapid movement, and they strained their eyes to focus on the huge aircraft that had reached higher than anything they'd ever seen. Once people began speculating that there had been UFO sightings and alien signs of life in the skies of Nevada, the government said to protect their top secret tests that these were unexplained natural phenomenon. This only fueled speculation that something was going on at the base of Area 51. As years passed and testing on the U-2 finished in the late 1950s, other aircrafts would go on to be tested, stealth crafts like the Hav Blue and the Tazit Blue. Each sighting adding to the area's belief in something otherworldly being stored on Paradise Ranch. 1989, aliens and Area 51 became a popular conspiracy topic again when a man going only by the name of Dennis at the time went on to Las Vegas News, telling tales of how he worked at the site and he saw alien life forms and had himself actually worked to reverse engineer alien ships. He spoke of how he worked in a hangar built into a mountainside, working on a disc-shaped alien spacecraft to reveal its secrets. These included things like anti-gravity, propulsion, the ability to change directions on demand, invisibility and extreme power given to the craft by an undiscovered alien element. Dennis went on to claim that he had knowledge of the Earth's involvement in a 10,000-year pact with a civilization from the Zeta Reticuli star system and spoke of forms of physics and engineering that were centuries ahead of our own technology, according to Rothschild's book. The book also goes on to say that Dennis claimed to be involved in testing 9 alien ships and involved in the explosion of an alien element. A video on the conspiracy on YouTube by content creator The Binger goes on to explain the security surrounding the compound. A chain link fence goes around the entire base with excessive signs warning trespassers. There are cameras covering every angle of the place and even hilltop security cars sitting and watching for signs of trespassing. There are alleged sensors in the road that warn the base of oncoming vehicles that are approaching. The Binger also makes a good point about how the vastness of the area that the base is located in, matched with the lack of GPS and phone signal, no amenities such as gas, food, water and toilets, would make it a perilous place to visit and become stranded by, although some still try. In 1991, the government made its first official declassification of some of the happenings within Area 51, and most alien enthusiasts and UFO watchers were barely fazed by the news that the sightings were most likely down to the U-2 spy plane tests. Those people still went out into the desert at night to spot what they believed to be alien ships. What this could actually be put down to, at the end of it all, was the McCarran Airport, a nearby facility that transported commuting workers to and from the base every morning for work, sometimes before the sun had a chance to rise. These flights took place throughout the day and could explain the often blinding lights reported by UFO chasers in Nevada around these times. The last chapter on this subject in Rothschild's book reads, "The secrecy falls away." Much of what happens at Area 51 is still classified, but the bloom of secrecy has decidedly gone off the facility. In 2007, many former Area 51 employees had their confidentiality agreements lifted. Cold War-era workers, who had been silent for nearly 50 years, told incredible stories of working on deeply classified projects, being paid in cash or by non-existent front companies, scaring off local deputies who arrived at sites where planes crashed, and oddly enough, how great the food was. They were proud of the work they'd done, and reunions of former Area 51 employees were common, though always done in secret. And there was even more disclosure of classified information in 2013 when the CIA officially acknowledged its existence thanks to a Freedom of Information lawsuit. What none of these reports contained were long-held secrets of aliens, UFOs, or faked moon landings. Dennis, who first put the idea of aliens at Area 51 into popular culture, turned out to be a UFO enthusiast named Bob Lazar, who never attended any of the advanced schools he claimed to have, and likely spent very little time at Groom Lake, yet still clings to his stories of fantastical technology and alien experimentation. What really happens there now is still classified, of course. Despite the barren land surrounding Area 51, in 1996, Route 375 was renamed the Extraterrestrial Highway and has proved to be a huge economy boost in the area, drawing in alien enthusiasts and tourists from all over the world. An article on roadtrippers.com reads, "Ever secretly dreamed of a close encounter of the third kind? Are you curious as to whether humans are alone in the universe, or are you just a massive fan of the X-Files? Whatever your reason for wondering about alien life, the best way to get some answers is to find them yourself, and there's no better place to conduct your research than the Extraterrestrial Highway, also known as Nevada State Route 375. The 98-mile stretch of road has had so many UFO sightings that the state eventually started referring to it as the Extraterrestrial Highway. Though this trip is short enough to be done in one day, we've added a few extraterrestrial hotspots you may want to visit while you're in the area. The Lunar Crater National Landmark. If you go a little beyond the Extraterrestrial Highway, you'll find a great space-themed gem, the Lunar Crater National Natural Landmark. Full disclosure, it wasn't formed by a UFO or even a meteor. The volcanic crater got its name because it looks like the surface of the moon. And you can totally picture homesick Martians stopping by the barren desert formation to see some familiar landscapes. Alien Research Center. Once you reach Hyco, Nevada, pull over at the Alien Research Center. It's closed Sunday mornings and you should probably call before heading down just in case, but it's worth the stop. They have loads of awesome UFO and alien themed souvenirs and an actual research area. Plus the outside offers a pretty awesome photo op, even if the place is closed. Next, you'll come to Little Ailey Inn. This is one of the most famous stops along the drive. The diner is adorned in all kinds of alien kit, and you can browse the gift shop for loads of UFO-themed merchandise. And if you chat up the waitstaff, they'll probably tell you about various alien encounters along the road, the craziest conspiracy theorists they've had stop by, and maybe, if you're lucky, the best way to check out Area 51. Also, do yourself a favour and order the alien burger. The Extraterrestrial Highway also has tons of supposed UFO crash sites along the way. Naturally, these aren't much to look at now because, depending on who you ask, the government scrubbed the areas of evidence years ago, or nothing happened. But maybe being in the area will improve your chances of a sighting. Keep your eyes peeled at all times. One alleged site is in Ely, Nevada. Another is in Kingman, Arizona. And two are in New Mexico. We highly suggest camping or RVing the route as a day or weekend trip from Las Vegas. Plus, the stargazing in this part of the country is unbeatable thanks to the remote location and lack of light pollution. The most recent reasons for Area 51 appearing in the news was of course for the Storm Area 51 viral event. But there was something else that happened in 2017 as well. Tom Demily wrote an article called The Aviationist on the September the 12th, 2017 for the website businessinsider.com. The article reads, in a story published late Monday, September 11, 2017, on aviationweek.com, new information is being revealed about the type of aircraft that USAF Lieutenant Colonel Eric Schultz may have been flying at the time of his mysterious crash 100 miles northwest of Nellis Air Force Base in the Nevada Test and Training Range. Speculation about the crash was fueled by Air Force media releases that did not indicate the type of aircraft that was being flown by Lieutenant Schultz on Tuesday, September 5, 2017, when the accident occurred. There was also a delay in the story reaching news media that raised further questions since the accident was reported after another unrelated accident involving two A-10s. AviationWeek.com correspondent Guy Norris wrote late Monday, September 11th, that sources indicate Schultz was the Red Hat squadron commander at the time of his death. The Red Hats became an unnumbered unit within the Detachment 3 AFTC test wing after the 413th Flight Test Squadron, formerly the 6513th Test Squadron, was deactivated in 2004. Over recent years, the unit has operated a variety of Russian-developed combat types, including the MiG-29 and several Sukhoi-developed models such as the Su-27P, one of which was recently observed flying in the vicinity. The photos of the Su-27P, referred to by Guy Norris on aviation.com, first appeared on theaviationist.com on January 6, 2017, when we published the shots taken by Phil Drake from Tikaboo Peak outside Groom Lake, Nevada, on November 8, 2016, between 3 and 3:25 p.m. local time. Photographer Phil Drake told theaviationist.com, I took my camera out and photographed the ensuing dogfight between the flanker and an F-16. The sortie seemed to consist of a head-on intercept conducted at descending altitudes from 30 down to 20,000 feet, and after each intercept, a turning dogfight ensued after they had flashed past each other. The highly maneuverable flanker was a single-seat version, an Su-27P, and it pulled out all of its best moves to get behind the F-16. I watched in awe as the pair fought it out for 25 minutes before they both climbed to altitude and flew back into Groom Lake restricted airspace. My scanner remained silent throughout the whole encounter. Guy Norris's story on AviationWeek.com also reports that given the approximate location provided by the Air Force, it appears the accident occurred midway between Groom Lake and Tonopah Test Ranch Airfield, both of which are operated by Detachment 3 Air Force Test Center. The site is responsible for test and evaluation of classified black aircraft, as well as foreign types which are flown by the Red Hats for tactics assessment and dissimilar training against frontline Air Force units. The Air Force has not provided any additional information on the specifics of the Lieutenant Eric Schultz's crash, except for the famous tweet quoting US Air Force General David L. Goldfein, Chief of Staff on the Air Force, who on Saturday morning, September 9th, told Military.com, I can definitely say it was not an F-35. Whether the US Air Force will follow up with additional information in the crash of Eric Schultz is unknown. If Lieutenant Colonel Schultz was involved in testing, evaluation and training with opposing forces aircraft in a classified program that remains ongoing, the information may never be released. Additionally, the accident, if it did involve non-US opposing forces aircraft, may compel the Air Force to change its opposing forces training program as seen in the now famous Phil Drake photos of the Su-27 outside Groom Lake. Some speculated that perhaps the aircraft being tested by Lieutenant Colonel Eric Schultz was in fact something extraterrestrial. So this sums up Area 51. What do you think? Could there still be untold secrets buried deep in the underground bunkers of Paradise Ranch, hosting intelligent life forms and alien engineering? Let me know your thoughts. You can contact me at cultvaultpodcast@gmail.com or find me on Twitter and Instagram at cultvaultpod. I'm your speaker, Casey, and this is the Conspiracy Vault.